Hello and thank you. Hello, everybody. Thank you for calling in and listening to us tonight on blogtalkradio.com. We are on DTM Wicked Network. This is Fear, Paranormal Society. Austin is hosting tonight. This is Regina speaking, and shortly Rachel will be calling in to join us. Let me give you a couple of quick updates about our calendar and what's going to be going on here pretty soon. This weekend, very excited, is Waverly Hills Sanitarium. We will be leaving Saturday, several of the Fear members and I, and headed to Louisville, Kentucky. We are going to be investigating Waverly Hills Sanitarium all night, Sunday night, into the wee Monday morning hours. It's going to be fabulous. We have it to ourselves, and that is an event put together by ASAP Entertainment, and so I'm really looking forward to it. They always do kick-ass events, and so that's my big plan this weekend. And that will include Selena Rhone, Josh will be with us as well, Jamie from our Oklahoma branch is coming in to do the investigation, so it will be a lot of fun. Now, the next weekend, if you're out in the Louisiana area, the official Bonnie and Clyde event is happening. I'll have to look here and get that exact name of that. But that you can check out our Facebook page as well. That one will be fun, too. It is in Gibbstown, Louisiana, next weekend. And that is the official Bonnie and Clyde festival over there. A lot of cool stuff going on. In September is the Gulf Coast Paracon. That was another bit of information you can find on our Facebook pages as well. So lots of good things coming up. But today we were going to talk briefly about, we wanted to give you a recap. Just a couple of weeks ago, we went to Tyler, Texas, and participated in one of the best Paracons I've gone to this year, quite honestly. That was the Tyler Paranormal Conference, and that was put on by Jericho's Tours of Tyler, and that would be our buddy George Jones over there in Tyler, put on a fabulous event. Got to hear some interesting speakers, got to visit some very cool locations, little activities. Rachel's going to share probably one of the most exciting events and personal experiences she's ever had since she started doing this. Was lucky to be there as well. In fact, one of the locations, there were several. The jail was there, the Smith County Jail. We were able to investigate that building, extremely active. We also were able to investigate Terra Nice, and that is the haunted house that became a haunted house. Another interesting location. In fact, if you followed Selena Rhone any, you've seen some of her pictures there for her photo shoot. And like I said, that was initially a place they took over, turned it into a haunted house for commercial purposes, and had enjoyed some good success there, and then started having experiences that weren't part of the show, so to say. And therefore, very quickly started doing some investigation and realized that, yes, this place truly is haunted. And that's why we refer to it as the haunted house that became a haunted house. What a cool attraction. It's huge there. Lots of activity there as well. Let's see. Looks like we're having a little trouble getting in tonight. So Rachel will be joining us as soon as she can get in. I really want her to share your experience. I'll try, if I can't get her in the next 5 to 10 minutes, I'll try to explain what happened in a way that you experience it yourself. But would rather y'all actually hear it from her. Let's see, what else did we do while we were there? Well, Friday night, let's start with Friday night. Friday night, VIP, I purchased VIP. And a shout out to George Jones on that. That was truly a VIP experience. Really enjoyed the dinner that we had at a nice little Greek restaurant there. I personally love Greek food. I don't know about y'all, but That place was fabulous. Tyler, Texas is not my first thought for good Greek food. Was fabulous. Then during that was like a dinner with the people that were speaking and some of the guest investigators. And so we got to meet some of the psychics that were going to be there the next day. Several of the speakers were there with us as well. Dad really enjoyed his company. That was fun. Then once we finished eating, we headed over to the Liberty Theater, I believe is the name of it. And that was pretty fun, too. They showed a clip of one of the investigations that they took and actually had aired on, I believe it's Texas Expeditions is the name of it. I'll have to double check that. I do apologize. I sound a little unprepared this evening. I was a little carried and late getting in and didn't have all of this already done as far as the names and everything. But, yeah, it is the Liberty Theater, and that was Friday night. So we got to watch a little bit of that. That was really cool to get to talk to the gentleman that produced that for him and get to hear from his son, who was a spur-of-the-moment cameraman for the event. And it was quite an entertaining story. Evidently, Dad didn't let him in on what they were doing, only that he needed a cameraman and he was getting paid. And so there was a lot of fun listening to them share that experience, father and son type situation. And Tyler had a whole different perspective on it now, a few years later, than he did at the time it was happening. He was a little concerned, I do believe, about the strangeness of the people that were participating in this, being very new to it, obviously. So that was a lot of fun. And then after that, we got a little mini tour of the locations and a little history about what we're going to be doing the next day. So then we check in the next day. And one of the cool things that happened, in my opinion, was the combination Paracon Psychic Fair. There were some of the psychics that were there doing readings. There also was an astrologer doing star charts, and there was, I believe, a lady doing numerology, possibly, crystal healing, and the Reiki type healing and chakra cleansing. All of that was going on, in addition to the fabulous vendors that we got to check out. Jason Black over at Starshine Innovations was there with his fabulous jewelry. Came home with a chakra necklace myself. It spoke to me, so it came home with me. Also, his ghost training equipment was there with him. And there were several new people that we hadn't met before. So that was pretty cool to get to see all those vendors. And the speakers were such a wide variety of topics. It was amazing. Fling Rohn, our founder of Sphere, spoke on astral projection. That was really interesting to hear. Hopefully you'll get an opportunity in the future to hear her speak on that at a Paracon at some point in the future. Also, one of our other members, and that would be Veronica from our Sphere Oklahoma chapter. She spoke on spirit photography, another excellent presentation with examples and explanations of what she had actually captured on film. That was cool. I think that was one of her first times to speak in front of an audience at a Paracon, I believe, and she did fabulous. Hopefully you'll get to catch her at one in the future as well. The favorite speaker I had, I believe her name, I cannot recall her name. She was one of the first speakers, and she had been an actress at one point. Could actually read auras. And, of course, I've heard a lot about auras. Everyone hears about their auras and what color they are and that kind of stuff. And it was she was just so engaging and spoke about how she'd always kind of had that knack and how she actually turned it off for a while. because it became a little overwhelming. And so that was a cool thing to hear. She was able to talk to several people in the audience and read them as well. Got to watch her to kind of turn the tables on a skeptic. That was really, really interesting. I don't know that he believed 100% by the end of it, but he definitely had a better appreciation for the spirit world and the way we speak of the energy and things along those lines. She was fabulous with that. Let's see, who else spoke? J.J. Rice shared her story about the haunted house that she lived in, and it was actually presented on, I believe, the Haunted Houses on Destination America. That was really cool to get to hear her side of what happened versus what the TV show actually saw. That was interesting. Obviously, I would assume that most people realize that there's a lot more drama added to that than what actually happened. One of the things that she mentioned was the fact that the people who owned the house that they felt like were the ones haunting it were actually indeed very nice people when they were alive and were not the nasty, horribly cruel people that they had been betrayed as. And so that was interesting to hear. There were several more. Unfortunately, there were a couple of speakers that were going to be able to be there initially, and then like John Brightman, bless his heart, came down with pneumonia, and he wasn't able to make it. But that's okay. I know that you'll catch him in the future as well at another Paracon. Oh, that was all day, just fabulous speakers. A gallery reading on Saturday evening was also very cool. Crystal Waters from Longview was the medium psychic that did that reading, and it was really cool. Run into Stacy, ask her about her reading. That's kind of a random thing. If you haven't been to a gallery reading, basically what you do is you're just sitting there in an audience, and the medium is generally at the front of the room and is listening and then speaking, you know, as names come to her, as descriptions come to her, and eventually gets matched up in the audience with who this person is trying to speak to. And, you know, some of them, it took a bit. There were a lot of J names, and sometimes it took a little bit to get to that person to get it. Actually, yes, that's definitely. But with every single person, there was no doubt that that's who she was talking to or speaking to on behalf of. And so it was really cool. Let's see. And then that's when we got to do all of our investigation. The first location we went to, because there were several people there, we went to the post office, I believe it was, and that was basically a long, low building. It was, from the time we walked in and headed around the back part of the building in order to get our tour so that we could orient ourselves and get some details, you could already hear footsteps. You could already hear noises that didn't sound like they belonged in basically a vacant building. And so that was pretty cool. Haven't gone through all my evidence yet. There's so much of it. Haven't made it through all of it yet, but I would not be surprised at what I get. Lots of footsteps. We heard footsteps the whole time in the area we were at. Behind us, set up a laser grid, got a couple of spots that looked like it could be something interrupting the theme. And so lots of activity there again. Let's see. After that, we ran over to Terranaut. No, I think we did the jail next. Anyway, the jail. And that was, sorry, we're still having some issues getting in. The phone system is kicking Rachel out. So it's going to be a bit, evidently. So I'm going to go ahead and just keep talking, guys. I'm sorry. I hope I'm going to be interesting for you. Rachel's going to continue trying to get in. Maybe she'll be able to get through shortly. We're going to go ahead and share the jail story. Rachel will have the opportunity to tell you this as it happens to her. So we get to the jail, the Smith County Jail, and it's a very, very old building, late 1800s, kind of old. And, in fact, I didn't study it for this one at all because I was hoping Rachel was going to be able to share it. So basically what happens is we go upstairs. It's kind of a heavy building. When I first walked into it, it's a two-story rock brick-type building. And when you first go in, to me it felt a little heavy. And then, of course, we went up the stairs, went all the way up to the top in the back room. It used to be the courtroom, is my understanding. And that courtroom is probably 15 by 20 feet. It's a good size room. And then there's two small rooms off behind it. And these smaller rooms are like 8 by 10, 10 by 10, that size, just to kind of give you an idea of what the layout is. Very tall ceilings, not much furniture. There's a round table in the big room with several chairs. In the small rooms, there's a desk and a couple of chairs. Just not a lot of furniture. We have the blinds closed. There are windows all the way around. So we just got to keep in mind what's going on with the light and things like that. And then on the other end of the room are restrooms, and there's two of them, a male restroom and a female restroom type situation. And then I think there was a coat closet off to the left. So there's your layout, just for mental prep. And so we're Helen and Donna were there, our friends from PSI. Yay, thank you all so much for coming. That's great when we get to investigate like this with other teams. In fact, we were also lucky enough to investigate with the Louisiana Ghosting Generations team was there as well. And so we were investigating the jail all at the same time in various places. And so we're upstairs. Helen is using the ethereal so that she can communicate with the spirits. And let's see, I'm going to try to patch Rachel in. So bear with me for just a moment. I'm evidently not able to get that figured out. To bring Rachel in on this. And that's me. This is my phone that I'm using, and I don't know how to do a three-way call on it. I thought I would be able to very easily, but can't. So we're going to keep trying. And like I said, back where I was at, we were around the big table, the big round table. Probably 12 people can fit around it. And Helen has the ethereal up and going. And so we're asking questions. Lydia's getting some responses. Josh is getting some responses. And it sounds like we're talking to a male and a female spirit. And we're kind of getting some responses that indicate that the female may have been the victim and the male was possibly tried and convicted there in the court of a crime, possibly. And so as this is going on, you know, we're talking about it. Everyone's kind of sitting or standing around. And I feel on the inside of my elbow kind of a warm spiderwebby thing. Don't pay much attention to it because, you know, those buildings aren't airtight. I assume that it's a bug, although I do look because it's kind of persistent. And then the next thing I know, Rachel's to my right, and the next thing I know, Rachel's kind of stumbling like she's going to fall. And I reach over and kind of catch her, and she was like, "What happened?" And she's like, "Something pulled me." I was like, "What do you mean?" and she was actually felt something, a hand, reach up under her shirt, grab her shirt tail, and jerk her back so hard that she almost fell. In fact, if she had not reached out and grabbed that table, she would have fallen all the way down. And it's interesting, the audio that I have at this point, you can hear me say something about a bug on my arm, and within a couple seconds, you can hear the commotion of Rachel almost falling. And so I really wanted her to be able to give you all those details, because all I can do is give you first-hand spectator, because that's what I was. It did obviously shake her up a little bit. I think it shook everybody up a little bit. In fact, she and I left at that point to kind of regain our balance. And from there, everyone else finished their investigation, continued with questions on the ethereal and a few other things like that. And as we were leaving, or as those in our group were leaving from upstairs, we heard this big thump. Now, Rachel and I are already outside. We're in the side parking lot, just kind of chilling a little bit, getting our bearings again. And our group is still upstairs continuing the investigation. And so it was about that point, I guess Josh and Selena actually had come outside to check on Rachel to see how she was doing. And we heard the big thump, bang kind of noise. And it was like, oh, what was that? Well, come to find out, it was Kristen of LGG felt like she got pushed down the stairs. And sure enough, the next day she had big bruises on her thighs, right around her knees from where she fell down the steps, or the stairs, actually. I wasn't there to get to see that, but she was a little shook up too. So that was probably, that was the highlight of the activity. In fact, at that point, we kind of split up a little bit. Some of fear went back to the hotel, and some of us went with Bill and them from the Louisiana Ghosting Generations on over to Terra Nights. And that was interesting. That was huge, huge, huge. In fact, we were in the one building where Jason got his footage last year, I believe it was, of the Shadow Man in the back of the building walking across there when there was nobody there. So didn't have that luck this go around, darn it. That's where we did start out. A little bit of noise, but couldn't really attribute anything to being paranormal. And darn it, that shadow guy did not show up. But, you know, that's the way it is with the paranormal investigation. You may be lucky enough to get something. You may not. You may get more than you bargained for. You may get nothing. And I got to hand it to George. These locations, there wasn't a one that we didn't get nothing. At every one of them, we had some type of activity, some kind of indicator of paranormal activity. At Terra Nights, after we closed out of that barn, we went inside, and this was kind of a guided thing. And while you were waiting to be led into the haunted house part of Terra Nights, you could watch on the monitors the groups in front of you and what they were doing. And so it was really kind of cool. It was kind of like being the monitor dude for Ghost Hunters or one of the ghost hunting shows. So that was interesting. It was really cool to see from a different angle, because when you're in it and experiencing it, you can't see what's going on usually because it's dark. And you're so involved in feeling and listening to what's going on. What's the person in front of you doing? Is the recorder on? Things like that, that you're very busy with everything that's going on. But when you're waiting and you're sitting there in front of that monitor, you're getting to see what those people are doing. You're getting to see their reactions as it happens. It's just really kind of cool. I enjoyed it. Didn't see anything, but a couple people did get kind of freaked out. I think they scared themselves, honestly. There are some bugs in there. Bugs, the bane of a paranormal investigator's existence. I'm calling you, whether they're real or not. Rachel, is that you?
Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear
Rachel?
Me?
Yes.
Hello. How long is it?
Georgina.
Okay, thank you. Hi.
Oh, oh, my God. Hi. Oh, my gosh.
Yay.
How are you?
Thank you so much for coming.
Oh, my gosh. I've been trying to get through for a long time.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I am so sorry that you had to do all of this, but you've been doing such an awesome job. I've been listening while trying to call in. And you've been
doing awesome. Hopefully everyone's still listening. I hope so. Because I
hope you guys are. She has done a phenomenal job. Please don't hang up. I am so grateful that you guys are listening to us tonight. And I am so sorry that it has taken me this long to get through. Thank you so much. Please keep listening. I'm sorry, Georgina. I didn't mean to interrupt your story and everything, but I know that you were touching on points with, you know, the Tyler Perricon and everything, and you did such an awesome job. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no worries, no worries. You know, technical difficulties are technical difficulties, and that's the reason we tag-team this. And
yes,
we are so lucky to have the great team that we have. I never have to worry about anything because I know y'all have my back one way or another, even if it's 31 minutes
absolutely
later.
Yeah, Miguel, well, apparently Miguel has our backs, too, because my husband was, like, using his phone, too, and that's what I'm doing right now. I'm on his phone. So thank you, Miguel.
Yes, thank you, Miguel.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt your story. Please continue, and whenever you have questions for me, please just feel free to let me know.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I can't remember where I was at. I am so excited that you came on because they give me so much more interesting and honestly important to hear your personal experience that I inadequately described in the jailhouse. There was so much more going on there for you than what I saw or heard. And I really would like for you to share your experience there, you know?
That was crazy. That was so crazy. I usually don't get shaken up. This actually shook me up quite a bit because it's probably one of the it is probably the first experience that I've ever had where I've been physically like touched or you know pulled on or and it was it kind of tripped me out a little bit. I wasn't expecting it. The first experience mentally that I had was, you know, Granbury Jail. I don't know what it is with jails. I know I mentioned that to you. I'm like, what is it with jails? I don't understand. But this second experience happened at, you know, the Tyler Jail, downtown Tyler. And we were, you know, doing the investigation. And I believe we had just, you know, all gotten together and we started going upstairs. And I believe Helen and you know, Dawn, I think Helen had her ethereal, which was a really cool little toy to play with. That was awesome. And so we're all
tonight.
Lucky. I don't blame you. I don't blame you. But we were, I think we went to the second floor and there was little corridors of rooms, you know, here and there. Really cool little building, actually. It was pretty neat. And we all decided that we were going to go up to the second floor, I think in one of the furthest rooms to the back. And we were all just kind of standing, you know, there and we started doing some, you know, EVP and recording and everything. And then, you know, Helen had her ethereal out and we were asking questions. And I do believe that Lydia was, you know, asking questions and trying to find out, you know, who the spirit was because we were getting some, I believe it was a male voice that kept coming through. Mm-hmm. And and I'm trying to think, you were to my left and there
That's
was a
correct.
Little table sitting in front of us. And I think, you know, Lydia was starting to, you know, say things like, you know, well, you know, I know the kind of things that you're doing and I don't think it's right, you know, that kind of thing, you know, just kind of not really provoking, just kind of calling it out, but not provoking to the point where it was getting nasty. And I think Jamie was in the back from Fear, Oklahoma, and she was kind of going room to room taking pictures and stuff. And all of a sudden I feel this, I mean, hardcore tug on the back of my shirt, like at the very, you know, the very back part of my shirt, you know, the little tail end of it there. And it yanked me so far that if that table wasn't there and if I wasn't able to grab onto it, I was going to fall flat on the floor. And I had never experienced anything like that before. And at that time, it was scary. It really did. It sincerely tripped me out. And I was shaken up. And so I, honestly, I was just like, okay, I got to get out of here right now. I need to get some fresh air right now. And so, you know, you and I, you know, we went downstairs. I started feeling very, very nauseous. Very nauseous. I thought I was going to throw up right then and there, but I didn't, thankfully. But I started feeling another kind of surge of nausea going down the stairs. And then as soon as I got out and started walking around, I was okay. It shook me up a lot. But as the night kind of progressed, it was just kind of like, I got excited about it. I was shaking up, you know, at the end of the night, but then later on I was like, oh my God, I can't believe that just happened. You know, Helen, she was just like, I want to go stand where she's standing, you know, so she gets up and she tries to go around the table to go where I was. And I was like, have it, go for it.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Definitely a fine.
But yeah, it shook me up to the point where I was like, you know what, I think I'm done for the night. And that's when you know, kind of we went to the hotel and I just kind of chilled out. I did talk to, you know, Helen and Donna, and I'm just like, I was shaken up. I was kind of tripped out, you know, and they were very encouraging. They were just like, well, you can't, you know, don't let things like that get to you so much. And, you know, that's like the big deal as far as like, you know, wanting to get touched or something like that by spirit. And I'm like, yeah, it's not very cool when it happens in the beginning, because it kind of freaks you out a little bit, but at least for me personally.
Mm-hmm.
But in retrospect now, I'm just like, I can't believe that really happened. Like, you're just like, I wonder if that could happen again, you know, if I go next time. I wonder if it would remember me. You know, I don't know. But it was eye-opening. Now that I'm thinking about it, it was pretty cool. But, yeah, that first couple of hours, though, I was really shaken up. And I normally don't get that way. You guys see me, you know, in places and investigating, but that was different. That was very different.
That was way different. Even, you know, being there with you in Granbury, at the Granbury Jail, when that happened, it was still way different than that experience. This was so physical. It was so strong.
Very.
We're live human beings, okay? I'm not going to tell you my weight, but it's over 100 pounds, okay? And I'll even go so far as to tell you it's a little closer to 2 than it is 1. But, you know, that's a lot of weight to move when you don't have, a body. This is spirit energy. Where the heck does that come from?
Yeah, I think that's kind of what bothered me the most about it when it first happened, was that there was nothing there, and that happened. So it was like amazing and scary at the same time, because you're just like, there was nothing physically behind me. There was nothing there, and something pulled me so hard to the point where I almost fell. And and that was a solid wood floor. So I mean, that would have hurt. It would have hurt bad.
Oh, yeah, definitely would have heard that one downstairs and outside, because it was. And that was one of the things we looked at right after it happened was, okay, these are wood floors. Sometimes they're unlevel. You know, sometimes they'll give if somebody on the other side of the room moves. But that wasn't the sensation that you felt. It wasn't like the boards tripped you up or you tripped. You are physically yanked from behind.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It's
and that was one of the things that I, and that was one of the, I would have done the exact same thing. I would have checked, you know, the floors to see if there was anything around to trip on. And you guys know I was going over that over and over in my head. Like, Was I standing the wrong way? Did I stand? Was I, you know, was something happening? Was my foot position wrong? Was I going to trip on? Did I trip on my other foot? I mean, it was things like that I kept going over and over and over in my mind, and it was nothing. There was nothing behind me. So, and that was trippy.
It was very trippy. I'm glad it was you and not me, but I'm glad I was there for you. who knows?
Are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, good job.
Okay.
Okay, you can hear me.
Just checking.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, I was like, no, don't drop me.
No, not now. Yeah. No, what I said, I don't know if you heard me, what I said was, I was glad it was you and not me, but I was glad I was there for you.
Yes, I'm very glad that you were there for me. Thank you. And everybody else, too. They were very, very sweet. So I was very grateful for everyone being there. And then, strangely, I think somebody else was either they pushed or they fell, and so we heard that like outside of the jail. Actually, we heard this big thump, and we were like, "What was that?" You know,
that was Kristen from Louisiana Ghosting Generations that was there with. They were downstairs waiting for us to finish upstairs, and they had come. My understanding was they were coming upstairs after we came down, but I'm not positive on that. There were several rooms in that building.
Yeah.
And so, but I think that's right. And she felt like she got pushed down the stairs. The way it was explained to me. And then of course she did post the pictures.
Friends
on Facebook with Louisiana Ghosting Generation, you can see the bruises that were on her thighs.
She's
right
bruised
underneath.
Up. Oh, was crazy.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, that hurt. I'm so sorry.
Kristen doesn't have much.
So.
Thighs and bruise to begin with.
she's tiny, thing. So that packed a punch on her little legs.
Yeah, definitely took up most of the thigh.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. All in all, I mean, that was probably the most memorable thing. I didn't make it to the haunted house, Terror Nights, and I didn't make it to the Indian grounds. But I know that you did, and I know that you had some pretty – well, I think Terror Nights was just really, really crowded. I know there's so many people, which was cool. I was looking forward to going to that just to see the scary stuff, too, as far as, like, you know, just the paintings and, you know, things like that that were on the walls, but there was actually any activity there. But and then I believe you went to the Native American grounds, correct?
Oh, I did. And I apologize once. I'm going to apologize again because I didn't prepare well enough. I don't have all of the exact names. But if you go look up the Tyler Paranormal Conference, all of the location official names are there. This was a memorial.
Yeah.
And it was a memorial to the Native American Indians in the area. There was a lot of activity as far as fighting and such. And so that's what the memorial is. And the Boy Scouts in the area actually set stones, big stones, for each tribe of the 12 tribes in that area. It was really cool. Me personally, it was the highlight experience for me, but not from a paranormal perspective. For me, it was very much a spiritual type experience. It was back in the woods, and as you walked down the red kind of dirt road, and there was a full moon. Oh, my God. The full moon that
weekend. Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Beautiful.
I thought that was amazing. Mm-hmm.
And it was cloudy. In fact, you may have seen some of my pictures on Facebook. I did post some pictures of the full moon that I took from the clearing. And they were just gorgeous. You didn't need a flashlight almost. It was so bright.
Oh, wow.
And,
that's
yeah,
awesome.
And so you faced, I guess it was about, I'm going to say a quarter-mile walk, maybe, which isn't really that terribly long, maybe 500 yards. I'm not sure. But it was enough that by the time that you park and walk, you were already kind of getting into that nature, listening and feeling. And, you know, and it's, we were probably one of the last groups there because they closed down all of the locations at 3 o'clock. And we were probably one of the last ones in that group there. And so as we walked forward, the stones are there to either side. The river and creek are surrounding the area. And you're hearing the birds and the crickets. And it was just a fabulous nature experience to begin with.
That's cool.
It was so cool. And to see, then once you get down to the clearing, there are benches in several different locations that are basically meditation-type benches to sit and reflect on what happened there. There's a monument that tells you about everything. But the absolute peace in that clearing was just, it was so cool. I'll get all geeked out on it, but it was wonderful. And I will tell you, Bill and Alex had some great K2 communication with the spirit. Yes. And it was like from the moment you got there, you felt like someone else was there outside of your group. Okay. There were other people.
I'm sure they were curious.
Very curious, you know, and you felt like they were kind of tagging the tree line, basically. And so as you got further back in there, Doodad, and I cannot remember his wife's name to save my life at the moment, but they were there.
I love him, Doodad. I love it.
Oh, God, they were, I really do like them. I do. I can't wait to see them again. They were really cool people, and they were burning sage and sweet grass. There had been an offering. I'm not sure about this. If Doodad is like in the shaman type role, I'm not sure.
I believe he is.
I believe that's right. And so there had been an offering along those lines of grain and usually it's wine, is that right, or milk.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure of the exact ritual or process, but an offering had been offered up, and so Doodad's there talking and just visiting with everybody like he does, and his wife's right there. Once again, they are just so excited that you're there and enjoying it. But that was my favorite experience overall. And like I said, I don't know that I would label it paranormal, even though Alex and Bill got hit intelligent-type response hits to their K2. In fact, Bill and Alex and I kind of lagged behind a little bit of everyone else as we walked back. And it was interesting to see Alex was holding the K2. And as we're walking back up the path, we would be talking about various things, you know, about the weekend, about the particular location and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, you would see the K2 peg out. Like they were interested in whatever that particular topic was. Yes. And it was generally...
Now, I'm curious, did you have your digital recording the whole time? Like...
No.
No? Oh, okay. Just wondering.
At that point, I had checked out. You know, at that point, it's 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah. Okay. Get to that point. Gotcha.
Yeah. You know, I got there Friday evening at 7:30 after working all day. Was up late visiting with all my friends that I don't get to see nearly enough because y'all live so far away. And, you know, didn't hit the bed until 2 or 3 Saturday morning to get up and do the whole Paracon, you know, vendor speakers thing, and then investigating until 2:30 Sunday. In fact, I think it was 4 o'clock when I got back to the hotel Sunday morning.
I think so.
Yeah, I think that's right. And so,
you guys were up late.
We were up very late, and I had checked out of investigator mode. So I didn't, but I definitely plan on following up with Bill and Alex to see what they got. as well as Christy and Michelle to see if they got anything.
Yeah, I can't, I would love to see if they caught anything. That would be amazing.
Yeah. I really hate next weekend I'm not going to get to see them in Gibbsland, Louisiana, where they're doing. They're going to be there at the Bonnie and Clyde Ambush Festival.
The Bonnie and Clyde Festival. Yeah, that was on May 21st. Yeah, so next weekend. That will be cool. And it's more of like a historical thing. And they're going to have something more in-depth, like an investigation, I think, October 8th at the Bonnie and Clyde Museum. But that's going to be like an investigation. I think they're putting like two other locations with it. But I think the May 21st is more of the historical, you know, when they were, you know, literally ambushed. And they're going to take you to the grounds where it happened, that kind of thing. So it'll be kind of like for the, you know, for the history bus to kind of take that in. So that'll be cool.
That'll be cool. And I'm sacrificing. Not really. Waverly Hills Sanitarium. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to, I don't want to say I'm jealous, but I am jealous. But I am, like, really excited for all of you guys to, you know, go and experience it. And I expect pictures. I expect some periscoping. Hi, Rachel. I want to hear some of that because I want one of those periscopes where you're just like from the bottom and you look all the way up at Waverly Hills. That place is just amazing.
I cannot wait. It is a bucket list for me. And it is probably.
It's one for me too. Yeah.
Top three. It's definitely in the top three. I'm tickled to death to get to do this, and especially get to do it through ASAP Entertainment, who's putting on the event, and having some of our Fear King members there as well. But I'll be honest, I would go anyway.
Me too. I didn't know, actually, I was kind of, you know, just upon doing research and everything with it, there are quite a few buildings on that property. I mean, it started off so small, and then it just got bigger and bigger and bigger to accommodate not only just the patients, but the staff as well. I mean, they had, you know, they had, what was it, 9 residences, I think, for the physicians. They had, you know, living quarters for the nursing staff and for interns, and it was, I was doing all of this and I'm like, man, that, it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. They had a school, you know, on the property. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. And just looking at maps, you know, just looking at all the maps and how they were numbered, I counted like 24 different little buildings.
Something like that.
Including, you know, Waverly itself. It was crazy. I did not know that. I really didn't.
It is huge. In fact, it had its own zip code, basically its own city.
That's right.
And in fact,
some
of the things that I've been reading were basically that if you went up on the hill, i.e. Waverly Hills, even though it wasn't really a hill, but if you went up there, you were totally disconnected from the outside world until you came back down because everything was there.
If you were able to, because from, I mean, I just, you know, if you were employed there or if you went, I mean, that's pretty much where you lived. You know, if you had, you know, tuberculosis or even if some of the staff, I mean, they literally lived with this kind of like a little city. Like you said, it had its own zip code. I mean, it was just incredible. Incredible.
It is incredible. And, you know, what I thought was interesting, I made the assumption, probably because I had never looked at the history before until I, you know, knew that I would be going this weekend, and this is probably one of the most investigated, at least the most televised investigated locations out there.
I totally believe that.
I just assumed that it had always been a tuberculosis hospital. That's not true.
It
started as a school for Thomas Hayes, who bought the property. And decided, you know, he had daughters. They needed a school. So he built a one-room schoolhouse on the property he bought. And that was like in 1883.
Yep.
And as happens a lot of times, the necessity of the epidemic of tuberculosis at that time, just a few years later, they built more. And it just kept growing and growing. I'm amazed at the number of patients that were there.
Oh, yeah. I think of the first little hospital held like 50 patients, and then they were just like, well, we're going to need to build something bigger to accommodate. And I think Waverly itself was able to accommodate 400 patients, plus, like, the dining room itself, I read, it could accommodate the patients plus the staff, which was, like, 300 people comfortably.
Yes, and that
like,
included children as well. That was another interesting
exactly.
thing.
Yeah.
Because if, you're,
that is
if your mom and dad had tuberculosis, what were you going to do with, as a child? They had wards for you there. Video, I don't know, did you see the video that was in the one link I shared on our Facebook page?
I didn't get to watch the video. I was reading up on the history, but I didn't get to watch that.
Oh, my gosh. So. That was so cool. Go back and watch it. It's well worth it.
Okay.
Awesome. It was kind of mind-boggling to listen to this and watch this video basically promoting Waverly Hills as top-notch at the time in tuberculosis treatment and see that their number one treatment was basically putting a syringe between your ribs and filling your chest cavity with air so that your lung could rest.
Yeah, the video was like, I was going to say, was it made in like the 1930s, I think? It kind of like demonstrated the revolutionary medicine that Waverly was able to, you know, able to have as far as like, you know, the rib removals and the lobectomies and all of this kind of, apparently that was just cutting edge, you know, back in the day that was revolutionary for tuberculosis. And yeah, that was,
yeah,
I'm going to have to back
horrified.
Up that was pretty neat.
Yeah,
there was something else that I read about the tunnel, actually, that it was actually specifically made in case, you know, because World War II was, you know, going on or fixing to break out. But they made that tunnel, I think it was 500 feet, I think. And that way, if something should happen with World War II, that they were able to comfortably put all of the patients in that chute, in that tunnel. So it actually not only was it able to have, you know, people walk in, you know, for the brutal winters that were there, but also if something should happen, it was used as a bomb shelter, basically. And I had no idea about that. I read that, and I was like, no way. And I was just thinking,
yeah,
oh, that's really big, like if you think about it.
Yeah, it was. I can't wait. I think we've got about a minute left, maybe a minute 30.
We've got a minute left.
Yeah, I know. Talk Once you it. Get on and we start talking, it just goes so darn fast.
I know.
So much to talk about.
I know.
I promise, if you would like, I will be available next week.
You will be available next week to talk about this because I want to know.
I am so looking forward
and I'm
to
in,
it.
And I'm in, yeah. And hopefully we'll have Jamie and Josh on as well, too. So.
Oh, yeah, because they will both be there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes,
so I want to have all three of you talking about your experiences. I want to hear about that. That's going to be amazing.
All right. So everybody listen in. Next week is going to be very interesting. I guarantee it.
I hope so, man. I hope so.
So keep in touch with our Facebook pages. You'll be able to see what all we're doing and what's coming up for us. That's all I got to say.
Absolutely.
What do you got to say, Rachel?
No, I'm just saying you guys share your thoughts, your questions, whatever you want on, you know, Fear Paranormal Society, Fear Paranormal Austin, Fear Paranormal Oklahoma, and Fear Paranormal Houston. If you guys, you know, want to link in that way, just let us know your thoughts, your questions, what, you know, what's up and what you'd like to hear about. And tune in next Thursday for our recap of Waverly Hills, hopefully with Georgina and Josh from Fear Dallas and then Jamie from Fear Oklahoma. So thank you for listening, and sorry I had to come in late, but I'm glad I made it, and hopefully I'll be able to host next week properly. So
right.
You guys take
thank
care
you.
And have an awesome, awesome night.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.